Well, if you've been watching the news during the week, it's been a hard old week for people like Ed Miliband and David Cameron, who seem to have people snapping at their heels, people who maybe just don't quite appreciate their leadership, or people who think maybe, you know, I could do a better job in there. And the whole thing of choosing a leader is quite difficult. Because what do you look for when you're choosing a leader? When backbenchers in the House of Parliament are looking around them, what do they look for? Well, they look for somebody who has a proven track record, somebody who could lead us towards the next general election. They look for somebody who they think is going to be trustworthy, someone who's going to win the trust of the voters. They look for somebody who's going to be perfect. Because, well, you don't want somebody who's imperfect up there, because they're only going to be pulled down. They look for all these different things in a leader. In the story which Jackie read for us a few minutes ago, God's choosing a new leader, a new king for Israel. King Saul had been the first king, and yet he had disappointed God. And so God sets out to choose a new leader. What will he look for? Will he look for a proven track record? Let's have a look around all of Israel and see if I can find someone who stands head and shoulders above everyone else because of their track record. Someone who's totally trustworthy. Someone who lives a perfect life. I think God would still be looking if that was the case. What does God look for when he chooses leaders? It's interesting when you look around some of the leaders. There's Abraham. Abraham, just one of those great figures of the Old Testament, one of the patriarchs of the Old Testament. And yet there are lots of examples all through Abraham's story of when Abraham didn't trust God, he actually lied about why he was doing things and who he was, simply to avoid any hassle. Not perfect. Hardly a proven track record. Moses might be a better possibility. But then Moses was a murderer. Moses let his anger get the better of him and murdered an Egyptian slave master. Maybe not leadership material. What about Paul? Paul, that pillar of the early church, surely he would do. But yet this is the Paul who, in his earlier days as Saul of Tarsus, persecuted the church terribly. Hardly the sort of material you want to be leading. Peter, good old dependable Peter. Maybe he would be the one. But that's the Peter who turned his back on Jesus, denied Jesus. No, I don't know him. I've never heard of him. I've never been with him. How could you even think that I'm associated with Jesus? Peter denies Jesus totally. Hardly the leadership material you'd be looking for. And then there's David. David, the adulterer. David, who plots and schemes to have a man murdered. Hardly leadership material. I suspect if one person had been looking at these people, they would have been shown the door. If you don't reach the mark, you're not really what we're looking for. You haven't got the drive. You haven't got the ambition. You're not trustworthy enough. You haven't got the track record, whatever it is. But thankfully, God doesn't choose that way. Did God not know who he was choosing? Of course he knew. We believe that God knows all things, that God knew about Abraham when he chose Abraham to leave everything that he had and to go to, well, I'll tell you where, Abraham, don't worry, you just go. Did God know he would lie? Of course he did. Did God know that Moses had murdered and then run through the desert? Of course he did. Did God know about Paul, who persecuted the church horribly? Of course he did. And Peter, who turned his back on Jesus, and David, of course he did. Because God's looking for very different things. Again, that lovely verse. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. I remember as an assistant minister, one morning taking the service, and just before we were beginning the service, there was a lady walked up the aisle, and she'd obviously been out and bought herself a new dress and was very pleased with it. And she walked slowly up the aisle and then made her way into the front seats and sat down. And then there was another lady came in fashionably late and walked up the aisle, obviously bought herself a new dress, very pleased with herself, sat down just across the aisle. During the first hymn, they turned and looked at each other, and you've guessed it, they were wearing the same dress. So, well, I don't know how much of the service they took in. Outward appearance. We spend as much time preparing our hearts as we do preparing our outward appearance. We would be different people. And it's not just about clothes, about hairstyles, about the Movember thing that's going on. It's about the image. The image that we try to put across. Man looks at the outward appearance, that image. God looks at the heart. God knows what's important. God goes right to the very core of things. Not the superficial things that we find important. This David is described in Acts as a man after my own heart. That's what God says. David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. It's a lovely thing. A man after God's heart. Wouldn't it be great if you and I were described in this way, a man or a woman after God's heart? Everything else that could have been said about David, this is what's recorded in Scripture. He was a man after God's heart. What is it to go after God's heart? What does it mean to go after God's heart? Well, the prophet Micah helps us understand it a little bit. Micah asks the question, what does the Lord require of you? What does God want you to be and to do? And maybe there are lots of things. Maybe we do think about having a proven track record, about being perfect, about being trustworthy, about all those things that we think are important. This is what God says through the prophet Micah. Here's what I want from you. I want you to act justly. I want you to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. That's it. Forget all the other things that you think are important. The superficial things. Here's the important thing. To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. Where does that start? Well, it starts right back at the cross. It starts right back there when we remember that God so loved the world. And if you are in the world, if you are part of the world, then that love is for you. Sometimes we read this verse and it's everybody else out there, it's everything else out there. God so loved the world out there. But if you're part of it, God loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is where it starts. We can't just suddenly decide, I'm going to be after God's heart, because we need to start. And it starts when we realize what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Paul in Ephesians simply says, it is by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God gives this gift of faith that we may experience his grace and be saved. That's where it starts. You want to be a man or a woman after God's own heart, this is where it starts, at the cross, where you realize that you have sinned against God. And there's nothing you can do about it, but there's plenty that Jesus has done about it. That's why he died. That's why he rose again. That's why we have a risen and living Savior, so that you, by grace through faith, may be saved. That's where it starts. But it doesn't finish there. It keeps going. And just as we are dependent upon God's grace for that very start, we are dependent upon God's grace to keep going in the Christian life, to keep growing in the Christian life, to keep maturing. We chase after God's own heart. You can flick a switch, but you can't make the electricity flow. You can turn on a tap, but you can't make the water flow. We're dependent on someone else providing the electricity so that when we flick the switch, the electricity flows. So when we turn the tap on, the water flows. Yes, we turn the tap, we flick the switch, but we don't produce the electricity, the water. Somebody else does that for us. And it's a lovely picture of God's grace. We cannot generate God's grace in ourselves. We cannot bring ourselves to that situation where we are right with God. We are dependent upon his grace. But we can be open to his grace. We can chase after God's heart. We can be open and receive that flow of grace into our lives. How do we do that? How are we open and receiving God's grace? How do we chase after God's own heart? Well, let me give you three simple ways that God opens for us. God's regular channels of grace. Three things: his word, his ear, and his people. That's how God regularly shows us his grace and his love and his care. That's how he reveals his heart to us. His word, his ear, and his people. The Bible, praying, worship and fellowship with his people. Now, there are times when God showers us with unexpected favor, but typically, the grace that sends our roots deepest, the grace that truly helps us to grow in Jesus Christ, the grace that truly sends us after God's own heart, the grace that produces lasting spiritual maturity, is the grace that streams from worship and fellowship, from prayer, from taking in his word. What God looks for is people who are serious about seeking his heart. People who are serious in worship and in fellowship. People who are serious in prayer. People who are serious in feeding in his word. Hearing God's voice. This is the word of God. That's what we believe. And so in all the different ways that we have of reading and listening and taking in God's word, that's how we hear God's voice. That's why we preach. That's why we have Bible studies. That's why we encourage you to read your scriptures on a regular basis, because through those scriptures, God speaks to you. If you're serious about chasing after God's heart, you'll be serious about hearing his voice. If you're serious about chasing after God's heart, you will be serious about having God's ear. And that's simply about prayer. As we open ourselves up to God and move into this conversation with God in our prayer lives, then we have his ear. It's an astonishing thing that this God who created this universe and all of its vastness, who saw that comet that the little landing craft landed on, who was there when it started, this God wants us to have his ear. It's a remarkable thing. and we get to know and to understand his heart as we spend time in prayer. Being with God's people. Being with each other. That's why we gather on a Sunday. That's why we have so many other opportunities throughout the weeks and the months of the year to come together, because as we gather together as God's people in worship and in fellowship together, that's where we learn. That's where we grow. So that's why we have prayer times. That's why we encourage you to be in prayer partners, just to find one or two friends that you can meet with regularly to pray with them. On a Sunday morning, on a Wednesday evening, there are so many opportunities to come together to pray. They're there. They're like the switch that can be flicked so that as we pray together, we experience God's grace. Scripture warns us not to neglect coming together in worship and in fellowship. Why? Because that's one of the ways that we learn and grow and mature. It's one of the ways that helps us chase after God's heart. And Bible studies or home groups, the discipleship explored course, they're all ways that we open ourselves to God. They're all ways that we chase after his heart. So what about you? Are you after God's heart? Because the truth is, we're all set on something. It may be something superficial. It may be something temporary that will fade away. Or when our heart is set on God's heart, there is nothing more eternal. There is nothing more permanent. There is nothing more fulfilling and satisfying. Wouldn't it be lovely? Wouldn't it be lovely if people would look back on your life and simply say, she was a woman after God's own heart, a man after God's own heart. May God give us the grace to be open to all he would do in us and through us. And to him be all praise and glory. Amen.